Take your Bibles now. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. It's on page 1258 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Page 1258. We're in a section, the last section of 1 Thessalonians. And it's talking about various patterns that we need to establish as a church. And so we need to establish good patterns in our relationships and also establish good patterns in our reactions. The three verses that we've been looking at, these three past sermons, is they're very short, but they're teaching us how to react to our circumstances. So instead of allowing our circumstances to lead us into the dungeon of despair, we are to rejoice always. Instead of being anxious about our circumstances, we are to pray continually. And instead, now the third one, instead of complaining, we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm going to read verses 12 to 18 just to give a little bit of context, but we're going to focus on that one short verse. Listen to God's word. These words will give joy to your heart and will restore your soul. Verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that's where we'll end the reading of God's holy word. May he grant us understanding as we seek to apply it to our lives. We often think that the more we have, the more thankful we would be. I mean, if we really had what we wanted, we would, of course, be really thankful for those things. But if we look at our culture, that statement is consistently proven to be false. And really, the way it most often works is that the more we have, the less thankful we become. As a country, we've proven this to be the case. We enjoy luxuries that no generation before has could even dream about. And yet, we're characterized too often by complaining or even developing an attitude of entitlement, as if I'm owed even more than what I have. Martin Luther wrote that the greater God's gifts are, the less they are regarded. The greater God's gifts are, the less they are regarded. Another man named Robert Morgan, he said, a hungry man is more thankful for a morsel of food than a rich man for his full table full of food. A lonely woman in a nursing home will appreciate a visit more than a popular woman with a party thrown in her honor. A Russian who finally gets his own copy of the Holy Scriptures after 70 years of state-imposed atheism is more thankful for his little book than we are for all the Christian books and magazines and translations that overflow our shelves. The poet Ralph Waldo Emerson observed that if the constellations appeared only once in 1,000 years, imagine what an exciting event it would be. But because they're there every night, we barely look at them. We often think that the more that we have, the more thankful we'll be, but that correlation is proven wrong. We think, well, if I only had the right job or the right marriage or the right amount of money or the right education or the right family, the family that I really wanted, then I'd be thankful. But that's proven to not be the case. The more we have, the more we complain, seems. In fact, it seems like if you don't complain, whether it's about the weather or the local sports team or the coach or the ref or the boss, or your work, or your kids, or your wife, or your husband, or your finances, or if you don't complain about how hot it is, or how too cold it is, or you don't complain about the food, or complain about your car and the kind of car you have, or the bed that you're sleeping in, if you don't complain about the economy, or complain about politics, or complain about our leaders and talk about how ignorant they are, if you don't do that, you're left out of quite a few conversations. You almost have to learn how to complain so that you can be included in conversations. Well, the reaction of a Christian to all our circumstances is to be totally different. Your new natural reaction as a new creature in Christ, you're to give thanks in all circumstances. That means that whatever circumstances you face, there's reason to give thanks to God for it. God commands you to give thanks in all circumstances. Are you a complainer? Do you think you have good reason to complain? This verse is encouraging you to open your eyes to see how good God has been to you in all circumstances. And it encourages you to give thanks always. You kids, there's a blank page there in the bulletin where I would usually have my outline, but it's right there for you. You can draw a picture of a few things that you are thankful for. Draw what you're thankful for. God has been good to you, so give thanks to Him. So this passage tells us that we're to give thanks in all circumstances, but that is not an easy phrase to digest. I mean, this means then that we're supposed to give thanks for the good as well as the bad, the easy as well as for the hard things, the encouraging things as well as the discouraging things. We're to give thanks for those things that lift our hearts as well as those things that really crush our hearts. We're to give thanks for those dreams come true as well as the nightmares that come true. It doesn't take much to look around to experience the things that our community has experienced in the last week or the last 2 weeks, or the things that our country has experienced over the last months, the kind of division and hatred and killing that goes on. And so you think that it's just not reasonable. It's not reasonable to give thanks in all these things. How can we give thanks for the times and the events that bring such tears to our eyes, that bring such excruciating pain and sorrow? Why would God tell us to give thanks for the nightmares that come true? I can't see anything good in them. Well, as we consider this verse, I want to consider four categories of circumstances. And no matter what your circumstances are, your circumstances will fit in one of these four categories. And as we reflect on these four categories, I want to consider how we can be thankful in all four categories. To be thankful in all our circumstances. And we're going to start with the easiest category of all, the easy stuff, the obvious stuff. And then as we go on, things will get a little more challenging. So first category is that we are to give thanks for all the good things that God has given to you. Give thanks for all the good things that God has given to you. You should be thankful for lots and lots of things. You should be thankful that you live here in this country. You have relative peace and safety. You have, at least relatively speaking, a good police force that you can call on when you're in danger. You have, relatively speaking, again, a good government that seeks to carry out justice. You should be thankful that you had breakfast today. Some of you might have skipped breakfast, but you probably had dinner last night. Be thankful for that. Be thankful that you can eat basically what you want when you want. Hamburgers, ice cream, enchiladas, cereal. We have every possible flavor of drink available to us at the supermarket. There are people who can't imagine the amounts of food that we throw away, let alone how much we eat and how much we have in our supermarkets. Be thankful. Be thankful for the house that you live in, for the clothes that you wear, for the education that you have, and the opportunities for education. Give thanks for small things. There's lots of small things that we lose sight of. Think about friction. Be thankful for friction. Without friction, everything would fall apart. Nails would pop out and screws would pop loose. Nothing would hold together. Be thankful for friction. Be thankful for how green everything is here. I grew up in Arizona. Everything is brown out there. I was blown away when I first flew I drove to Geneva for the first time. And just, I could see the green rolling hills. Trees grow up randomly everywhere. You don't have to water them. That doesn't happen out in Arizona. Be thankful that you have rain and water. Give thanks for lizards and hummingbirds, for paint that makes your house look nice, for Home Depot where you can get the right tool or just about the right tool. Give thanks for your shoes, or for those of you who don't like wearing shoes, give thanks to God for the blackened calluses on the bottoms of your feet and dead nerve endings. I don't understand how you do it. I have to wear my shoes. I'm thankful for my shoes, but you can be thankful for your calluses. Give thanks for big maple trees and beautiful dogwoods. Give thanks for music and harmony, for sports and competition. Give thanks for trains and planes and cars, buses, trucks, boats, bicycles. We travel around like no generation has ever before. Be thankful for your air conditioning. And in the winter, thankful for your furnace or your fireplace and the stacks of wood that you have outside. Give thanks for your friendships, for your roommates, for marriages, for children and grandchildren, for in-laws, for cousins. Give thanks for jobs, or if you don't have the job that you're looking for, give thanks that you live in a place where there are opportunities to work. Be thankful that you have something to do each day. There are lots of people who wake up every morning, they don't have really anything to do. Be thankful that you have things to do. Give thanks for computers that make life perhaps a little more frustrating at times, but a lot more efficient. Give thanks for Google calendars that keep you organized, and for email and internet, for old flip phones that can't surf the web, and also for your smartphones that can. Give thanks for Skype and texting. Give thanks for rain and sunshine, for the clouds and the sunny days. Give thanks for a cool night last night and a warm day today. And we could go on and on and on. We're just scratching the surface. Just take time to reflect on what good things God has given to you. As you think about these things, your mind should also be drawn to the greatest gifts, good gifts that God has given to you. Give thanks that these things that I just listed and the things that are in your mind, give thanks that those are really just a little taste of the glory that awaits us. Give thanks that in 1 Peter 4 it says that there's kept for you in heaven an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Give thanks that God has made you His friend. As you think of your spiritual blessings, think of all the blessings that are yours in Christ. You've been chosen before the foundations of the world. You were loved, predestined, forgiven, adopted. You are sealed with the Spirit. You're united to Christ in His death and in His resurrection. You're united to His bride, the church. You're saved by grace through faith. You were dead, but God made you alive in Jesus Christ. And you now reign with Him over this world. You have life with God now and forever. There are fields and fields and fields of things in your life that your mind needs to survey throughout the day to give thanks and to remember how good God has been to you. Because you belong to Him, you have everything. It is easy to get overwhelmed by the struggles of life, and we oftentimes get overwhelmed by the curse of sin and misery and death, and it takes its toll on us. It's exhausting and it's wearing, and it can be overwhelming at times. At those times, grab a pen and a paper and start to write down the good things that God's given to you. Remember, survey those fields that are often forgotten, and remember how good God has been to you. God will use that to remind you of your hope and His salvation, the great hope we have in Christ. He'll realign your perspective and He'll lift you from that pit of despair, and He'll fill you with joy. thank God for the good things that God has given to you. So that's the first category, easiest category, but oftentimes a very neglected category. The second category of things to give thanks for are the bad things that God spares you from. Again, this is a category that's pretty easy to give thanks for. I'm guessing that you know, all know, I hope you all know that as difficult as your situation is now or has been in the past or might be in the future, I hope you can realize that it could be far, far worse. There, you can name a billion things that God has spared you from. There are worse struggles and worse pains and worse heartbreaks, worse crises. And it's good for you to think about those things. You could have been in a car accident on your way here. A life could have been lost today. I'm guessing you could all remember some of those times when there were near misses throughout your life, when you narrowly missed disaster. The story that comes regularly to my mind when I think about this category was when I was younger, I was playing hide-and-seek with some older friends, the older kids, and the older kids got all the good hiding spots, so I sort of laid down in the corner of a field, and not a great spot. I was quickly spotted, and as I was running for base, I was running along a fence, but this fence, it was a chain-link fence, it had fallen over, and so I was running beside it, and my plan was to jump onto it, actually, and make my getaway. But I tripped, and my face caught the top of this chain-link fence, and I got three pretty nice gashes on my face. And one above my lip here, one around my eye here, and one cut my ear in half. And it took 50 stitches to put me back together. So I didn't used to look like this. The thing that I reflect on regularly, though, is this cut around my eye. It is a millimeter away from my eyeball. And there's no reason that my eyeball should have been spared, but God spared this eye. And I thank God that it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. God spares us from worse things. As hard as the things that you've experienced are, you can think of worse things. It's good to reflect on this and to give thanks. So when you go through financial hard times, remember, it could be worse. When you're hungry, remember, you're not starving to death. When you have only a few things left in your cupboard or in your dresser, give thanks that those things haven't been confiscated or stolen. As you reflect on crime that increases around us, give thanks that lawlessness doesn't reign in our country like it does in many countries. In many countries, there's no justice, no real police force, and the wicked do whatever they want. Be thankful that you can call 911 and call for protection. As you continue to reflect on these bad things that God has spared you from, your mind should consider the spiritual realities that He spared you from as well. If you know Jesus Christ, and you trust in Him to be your Savior, then you have been saved from a pointless, hopeless life. A life of misery, a life without hope or real joy or real love. You've been spared from an eternity in hell. I don't think we reflect on that enough. Think of the worst day that you've had in this life. Or actually think of all the worst days you've had in this life and concentrate them into one really bad day. That day would seem like a vacation compared to one day in the misery of hell, where there's no hope, no joy, no friendship, just pain and misery. Sorrow to the maximum degree. This you've been spared through Jesus Christ. When you find yourself complaining about your life, your circumstances, remember, God has been good to you. He spared you from so much. Give thanks to God that He has, at this point, spared you from those things. So we give thanks for the good things that God has given to us. We also give thanks for the bad things that God has spared you from. And now we get to the third category. Here's where it gets a little harder. You give thanks for the good things that God has not given to you. Give thanks for the good things that God has not given to you. if your heart is anything like mine, and I imagine it is, there are lots of things that you desire, things that you want, things that your heart even aches for, and you shed tears over them. But yet God, for some reason, has not yet given those good things to you. In the 90s, there was a song sung by Garth Brooks called Unanswered Prayers. And he reflects on old prayers that he prayed in high school. And he prayed passionately and urgently, asking God to give him the desires of his heart. And then as an older man, he was reflecting on these prayers and these times. And he said, he was giving thanks to God for those unanswered prayers. He was giving thanks that God didn't give him those things that he so desperately desired at that moment. Part of the course goes like this. Just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I don't usually go to Garth Brooks for my systematic theology, but he got it right here. He got it right. It's true. And I'm guessing at the end of your life, you'll find this to be the case. That those things you prayed so hard for that God didn't give you, you can see that that was a good gift. What is it that you desire so desperately, but yet God holds it, withholds it from you? Is it relief from some physical illness or some emotional pain? Is it that you want a good roommate, or a good spouse, or a good marriage, or you want children, or you want the right children? You want a good job. You want financial freedom. Or maybe it's as small as having the latest smartphone, or having your favorite cereal for breakfast. These are unfulfilled longings. Paul says to give thanks for these circumstances. Give thanks that God has not yet given them to you. And that seems absurd. Why should I be thankful when God doesn't meet this deep desire? Well, here's the reason why. Be thankful for unfulfilled longings because God uses those unfulfilled longings to redirect your heart toward Him. To show that your greatest need is for Him and for Him alone. The writer of Psalm 27 said, I have one desire, this is the one thing I ask of God, that I may... You could put your own answer in there, and I'm guessing we have lots of different answers. This is the one thing I want, God. I won't ask for anything else. He says, that I may dwell in your house and gaze upon your beauty and to inquire of you in your holy temple. That's his one desire. God leaves you with these unfulfilled desires so that you realize that your greatest desire is to be for Him. So that you realize that one day in His house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One of the most spiritually difficult, but one of the most spiritually growing times in my life was the unfulfilled desire of marriage. When I was single, until I was 31, and God used those single years to really grab hold of me and make me realize that my greatest desire has to be for Him. And I learned far more during those years what it means to find Him as my great reward and my great treasure. And I began to stop looking at God as someone who could give me what I really wanted. And I started looking at Him as being the one that I really wanted. He delayed and he lingered with this prayer so that I could find a far deeper joy of delighting in him. Since then, God, of course, has overwhelmingly blessed me then with a wonderful wife, and I thank God for her, and he spoiled me with her. But those years of singleness formed my heart after God's more than anything else. For that, I can give thanks. What are the things that God has withheld from you? Those things that you pray for. And by the way, it's good to pray for those good things. That's a good thing to pray for a spouse or a job or children or friends. Or for God to lift you out of those spiritual depths. But when he doesn't give them, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you. It doesn't mean that he just likes to watch you squirm. But rather, it's a gentle invitation. Sometimes gentle, sometimes not so gentle. Invitation to learn to find your great joy and delight in him. God's revealing himself to you through that unmet desire. And that is the greatest gift you could have. So give thanks to God for not giving you the good things you so desire. So we're to be thankful for the good things that he gives to us, the bad things that he spared us from, the good things that he has not given to us, and now the last category, the hardest category of all, you give thanks for the bad things that God has not spared you from. You give thanks for the bad things that God has not spared you from. In Romans 5, Paul says, rejoice in suffering. We read earlier this morning in James that we're to consider it pure joy when we face trials of all kinds. God's telling us that we're actually to give thanks for the bad things that happen. To give thanks when the nightmare becomes reality. All of us here are acquainted from one degree to another with trial and struggle and sorrow. From the smallest child to the oldest adult. And if you had the choice, if you're in control, there's no way you would allow those things to have happened in your life. You would have written an entirely different script for your life. But our great God, who is loving without reservation, without hesitation, the God who consistently loves you at all times, has ordained these hard things to come into your life. And again, he's not doing it to watch you squirm, but instead, through that smoke of struggle, he's revealing himself to you. We can be so blind, so stubborn, our hearts can be so hard, so calloused toward God that it takes the sharp pain of a broken heart or a broken body or a broken relationship or a broken life to really grab hold of us. God brings hard things into your life to remind you of what you can really hope in. Through a hard marriage, you're reminded that there is a marriage in glory that awaits you, that where you'll be wedded to your Savior. You'll find perfect rest and perfect satisfaction in him. When we sorrow over the loss of loved ones, it reminds us, it forces us to consider eternity, and it focuses us to find our real satisfaction in God. When God takes away those things that you love, he does so to grab our attention, to get our eyes fixed on him. Jesus said this, he said, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In his love, he will reveal himself to you. And one of the most memorable ways, one of the most powerful ways that he reveals himself is through hard circumstances. He let Lazarus die, and his sisters go through pain and grief so that they could see who he really was, that he had power over death, that he is the resurrection, and that whoever believes in him will not perish, that even though you die, you live. It's far better to go through the grief to see the glory of our Savior than it is to continue on comfortably in life and be ignorant of who he is, who he really is. A few years ago, a woman whose husband had been diagnosed with cancer, She wrote a blog, and she blogged throughout this process, and she wrote one blog entitled Thankful for Cancer. And she wrote this. It's a bit long, so just follow along. Because of cancer, we are closer to the Lord than we have ever been. Perhaps the enemy meant cancer to separate us from Christ, but instead it caused us to cleave to him. Coming to the end of ourselves, we found the goodness of the Lord. Because of cancer, we've grown in ways that would not have been possible otherwise. Because of cancer, our marriage is stronger and more intimate. It was the catalyst to conversations of the most sacred and delicate words two individuals can share. Because of cancer, we have been active stewards in getting our finances in order. Because of cancer, our children have been privy to knowledge and wisdom we could not have taught them by any other means. Because of cancer, priorities arise with clarity. There is a focused urgency to get on with the things of God and to avoid distraction. Because of cancer, we understand that our days are numbered. Because of cancer, we understand that every second of every day is a gift to be treasured because they are fleeting. Because of cancer, our perspective has changed. Before, vehicles needing repair, sump pumps gone wonky, or a broken pair of glasses would have seemed significant to us. But now those things are seen through the lens of cancer and become insignificant by comparison. Because of cancer, our senses have been heightened to absorb our surroundings and allow them to linger, whether it's the color of autumn, the taste of a conversation shared over coffee, the scent of rain, the sound of laughter, or the embrace of another. Because of cancer, we're able to comfort those with the comfort we've received. Because of cancer, death is no longer a threat. For those who are in Christ will live for eternity. Though it can ravage a body, it has no jurisdiction over the spirit for those who are in Christ. It has no victory. Christ conquered it on the cross. This thing called cancer has lost its grasp. Christ bore its sting. Because of cancer, we're able to see that everything that is allowed into our lives first filters through the hand of a sovereign and loving God for His glory and our good. Through those fingers, the light begins to dance against darkness, causing it to whimper as it's enveloped. Because of cancer, we are consciously aware of God's presence in every detail of our lives and our utter dependence upon Him. Because of cancer, we're learning to surrender our lives into the hands of God and entrust our care to Him as we continue to faithfully abide in doing good works as He's prepared for us in advance to do. Because of cancer, we've not learned how to die, but how to live. Words fail to adequately express our gratitude for God's mercy. I abhor cancer, but I'm thankful for what God has done in our lives through it. End quote. What is the cancer in your life? The sorrow, the struggle that you hate, but through which God is revealing Himself to you. That's the best thing that you could have. Give thanks for the bad things that God has given to you. You and I, we have been, through faith in Jesus Christ, we've been given every reason to rejoice. We've been filled with the Spirit. We've been born again to a living hope. We've been washed clean through the blood of Christ. And thanksgiving is to be our natural reaction, as these new creatures, our natural reaction to our circumstances. Oftentimes, our lives are filled with drudgery and complaining. We live in fear. But as you learn to give thanks, as you learn to realize that through God you have everything, through Jesus Christ you've been given everything, learn to give thanks always and for everything. Do this and you will overflow with the joy and hope that comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Learn to give thanks in all circumstances, and God will be glorified. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your many, many mercies towards us. We thank you for the abundance of good things you've given to us. We thank you for sparing us from the many bad things that could have happened. We thank you also for not giving us what we desire. We also thank you for those bad things that you've brought into our lives. use all these things to draw us closer to you, all our circumstances, that we would see you in a greater light. That's our single desire. Our desire is to be with you in your house, to gaze upon your beauty. So do what it takes to get us to see your beauty. Do this for your name's sake. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.